This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Do you ever find yourself in a confusing situation, lost and looking for answers? When we hear the news stories of children being shot in their classrooms, wars and inhumanity, it seems that evil has the upper hand. So where is the truth in all this confusion? Stay with us today as we talk about who holds the answer for life's difficult situations.
Now that the Christmas tree is down and the presents are open and we've celebrated the birth of Jesus, let's take a closer look today as to why Jesus came. What was his purpose? You know, he made several statements as to his reason for coming here. We're going to take a look at one of those statements today. I invite you to stay with us as we gather around his holy word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, today we give you thanks and praise for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are continually amazed at the enormity of your deep love for us. You gave your one and only Son to save us from our sins. All praise to you for your goodness and your grace. Amen.
Amen.
Our reading for today is taken from John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 33. It's Jesus standing before Pilate during his trial. It reads as follows. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" And after he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." Here ends our reading. Dear friends, life can be confusing sometimes. An elderly Florida resident called 911 on her cell phone to report that a car had been broken into. She was hysterical as she explained her situation to the dispatcher. She said they've stolen the stereo, the steering wheel, the brake pedal, and even the accelerator, she cried. The dispatcher said, "Stay calm, an officer's on the way." A few minutes later, the officer radioed back in. "Disregard," he said. "She got in the back seat by mistake." Life sometimes can be confusing in a humorous way, I suppose. Oftentimes, though, life can be confusing and cause anxiety and frustration. Let me give you another, for instance. Julie, my wife, and I were in the Holy Land a few weeks ago. The congregation which I serve gave us the trip for a 25-year anniversary. And we got into Jerusalem one evening and decided after supper to go along with a few friends of ours to do some exploring around downtown Jerusalem. We had a marvelous time, but after we turned around and tried to find our way back to the motel, we realized that we were absolutely confused as to what direction to go. We were lost, and we'd ask people, and some that were tourists like ourselves didn't know where the motel was that we needed to get to, and others didn't understand our language, and so we had a long walk, and it got to be frustrating and sort of some bit of anxiety in the midst of it as well. And finally, we found someone who held that truth for our confusion. That got us pointed back in the right direction, and we were spared of having to spend the night walking around Jerusalem. it can be frustrating and anxiety producing when we have confusion. Sometimes it can be deadly, dangerous. Around our area, every once in a while, someone will get out on the interstate on the wrong ramp and find themselves driving in the wrong direction against traffic. They've gotten confused by the turns, and somebody gets killed. It can be a confusing world in which we live. It's into that kind of world with confusion that our Lord Jesus stepped into and announced that he came to give us the truth. He was standing before Pontius Pilate when he said this. He had been arrested and brought to Pilate to have a sentence pronounced upon him for crucifying him. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king?" Jesus said, "Are you asking because on your own, or are you asking because somebody told you?" Pilate said, "Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm not a Jew. Are you a king or not?" Jesus said, "Well, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers would be fighting for me." And so Pilate said, "Well, then you are a king." And Jesus said, "Listen, it is for this reason that I was born, to bear witness to the truth." And Pilate responded, "Well, what's truth?" And then turned his back on Jesus and walked away. Here we learn three things in the midst of living in a confusing world. That Jesus tells us that, first of all, that there is truth to build a life upon. He says, "I have come not to bear witness to a truth, but to the truth." The truth that God wants us to have. In a world that is so filled with the philosophy of relativism, this sounds rather foreign to people's ears these days. We live in a world of great moral uncertainty, as many of you know. Many no longer know what is right or what is wrong, or they don't even believe that there is such a thing as right or wrong. It's all relative, they reason. Depending upon your background, your life experiences, how you're feeling about things. That's what truth is, and it's relative. Thus, many stumble around in moral darkness, ruining their lives in the process and the lives of those around them as well, because they truly do need the truth that our Lord Jesus said he came to offer us. The truth that Jesus is talking about comes not from within ourselves, or from within our world. It comes from outside the world, and it gives the world its meaning. It's absolute. It's unchanging. It's God's truth. It's a truth that everyone should seek and submit to and believe in. Jesus said, "That is why I came. That is why I was born on Christmas, to testify to the truth." Jesus reveals the truth through his word and through his actions, and he tells us some very basic things that he says is the truth. Number one, he tells us the truth about ourselves. As you poke around in the Gospel of John, for instance, you find again and again that Jesus points out that we were created for a relationship with God. We were put into this world to be a son or a daughter of our Heavenly Father. And on our own, away from that relationship, we are going to be hungry, as Jesus describes it, or thirsty, or lost and stumbling in the darkness. We will be enslaved to things that will make our lives so much less than what God had intended for us. We become fair game for the father of lies, as Jesus referred to Satan. We sometimes have a concocted image of ourselves that is absolutely false, Jesus points out to us again and again in that gospel. I like what Robert Kaiser, in his little commentary on John's gospel, writes about this truth. He said,
If a child for some reason thinks of himself as a dog, the concerned father does all he can to connect the child's misunderstanding of himself. He tries to correct it. God is doing nothing else in his efforts through Jesus but to demonstrate to humans that they are his creatures and dependent upon him for their existence. End of quote. Anything less than that is a distortion. We sometimes have an inflated view of ourselves, that we're the captains of our own destiny, that we are in ourselves godlike. I like the old story about the two men sitting outside the psychiatrist's office in the waiting room, and one turns to the other to have a little conversation and asks him, "Why are you here to visit this man?" He said, "My name is Napoleon, and this psychiatrist told me to come in and visit with him today." The man who'd asked the question said, "Who told you you were Napoleon?" And the individual said, "God told me." And the other man responded, "I did not." Kind of humorous, but maybe a bit of truth laced in that story. Ever since the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, we have a tendency to think that we can run our own lives, that we are in ourselves kind of like gods, as Satan had said. If you eat of that tree, you guys will be able to run your own lives. You'll be like God. And as we buy into that, we see that it just makes everything a big mess for us. And Jesus says, that's not what God intended. The truth is that you were created for a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And when you run off on your own and get lost in your own sinfulness, you become a distortion. You become less than what God had intended for your life. And then he points to this truth, that we have a God who is a Father who loves us, who doesn't love our sin. He judges our sin. But he loves us so much that he gave his Son at Christmas. For what reason? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus tells us, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This God that created us to be in a relationship with him has given us his Son to pay for our sinfulness at the cross. He has gone out of his way to bring us back to himself. That's the gospel truth. I was created for a relationship with God. Apart from that, I'm lost. God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that I might not perish in my darkness, but have eternal life. That's the gospel truth. Jesus points out that day to Pilate, and again throughout the Gospel of John, I have the truth that you need for your life. I hold it. In fact, he said at one point, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. How can I be sure that Jesus has the truth? Some scratch their heads in wonder. And I have but one word for you. Resurrection. Easter. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. He put his stamp of approval on everything Jesus said and did, and said, yes, he does hold the truth. Place your trust in my Son, Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth, who can reveal to you your Father's heart, my love for you. And you can hear that testimony of Jesus, of the truth, as you today open the Gospels up and you read, you walk with Jesus as he speaks to us through those Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I appeal to you this day, if you want to have Jesus testify to the truth to you that you need for your life, read the Gospels. At the end of John's Gospel in chapter 20, he puts down, all this was written in order that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Read it! Devote yourself to studying it, to being that disciple of Jesus who sits at his feet each day as you open up. I challenge you, read through those Gospels this year. Just keep reading them. And the promise is you will believe. You will be enlightened by the Spirit of truth and come to know the truth that Jesus has for your life. Now, I know there are some people that have not taken a step toward that might be listening today. You're looking for truth. My appeal is this: don't be like Pontius Pilate. At the end of this story, as Jesus appeals to him and says, I've come to testify to the truth, Pilate cynically says, what's truth anyway? And he turned his back and went about his business. There he was, staring at eternal truth, eye to eye with him, and he missed out. My dear friend, there is a lot at stake here. It's a matter of your eternal life. It's a matter of life and death. Your life is on the line in this. I appeal to you, come to Christ. At least take up the Gospels and read them and let him testify to you, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Free from the confusion that can wreck your life. And for those of you that have been walking in the truth, trusting in Christ, I appeal to you. Take up those Gospels and keep walking with Christ and let him testify to the truth that he has for you. In this day and age, as you open up the newspapers, sometimes the darkness of the day can almost be too overwhelming. As you read about children being shot in classrooms, as you see wars around the globe and man's inhumanity towards fellow man, you sometimes feel like evil has the upper hand, that it's winning. We need to get back into those Gospels and walk with Christ Jesus, and let him testify once again to us of the truth, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, that he holds this creation in the palm of his hand, that he has the last word over everything. And you will know the truth again, and again, and again, and that truth will set you free. Amen.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved You more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Let's pray. Lord, there are so many voices calling out to us to listen to their so-called truths. Thank You for sending us Jesus, who testified to the truth, and help us to remember that He is the one who holds the truth that everyone needs. We thank You for that truth, the truth of the gospel, for Your truth sets us free. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, behind you to encourage you, and within you to give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you to sort through life's challenges, knowing that Christ holds us in the palm of His hand, and He does indeed have the final word over all things. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by our speakers, as well as other interesting information concerning this ministry. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. We are thankful you chose to worship with us this day and pray that you will join us again next week on this station. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.